Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Denver devastates the Lakers once again. Are Jokic and company poised for a repeat? Well, I think Ant Edwards, he might have a couple of thoughts on that conversation. Plus, the Celtics, they're just one win away from advancing. But will their championship hopes be derailed by the health of Kristaps Porzingis? Woj has all the details. And have we seen the last of LeBron James in a Lakers uniform? That's the big question. And here's what the King had to say when he was asked about it last night.
I'm not going to answer that.
He's not going to answer it, but we are. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. Brian Windhorst, Austin Rivers, Adrian Wojnarowski, Zach Lowe. They'll be by in just a little bit. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud, Brian. Has LeBron James played his last game in a Lakers uniform?
Probably not. But I think it's something we should talk about.
Okay, we're going to get into that. It's a good thing we have an hour to get through all of the decisions that LeBron and Los Angeles need to make. But it was at least the final game of this season, Austin, for the Lakers. And here is exactly what happened in the Mile High City. It was a fantastic game. I mean, Jokic, he was all business coming in here. He was sprinting.
Look at him, look at him.
Everywhere he was going. Clearly, he had business to handle, places to be. Remember, the Los Angeles Lakers have led it every single break, every single halftime of every game this series. Last night was no different. They had a three-point lead entering the second half, but things took a very quick turn in the third quarter. Watch here, Austin. Anthony Davis, he bumps with Michael Porter Jr. here. It didn't look egregious.
No, not at all. It looked like a very subtle hit, but it definitely hit him in the right point. I wonder if it was just like a trigger point in his shoulder or something, because it was spasming the rest of the game.
Yeah, something really wasn't right. He attempted just one free throw, or one field goal rather, the rest of the way. The Nuggets, they would take a two-point lead entering the fourth quarter here. Nikola Jokic doing what he does. Finding Jamal Murray. Oh, excuse me.
Let me get a body.
Jamal, taking one more look at that.
He's a light body. He caught him. He snuck dunk him, but he got him, though.
He knows that he got him, too. Nikola Jokic, this is what he does. Easy work. Gets that one to go. And then here, Austin Reeves.
Big time shot.
Huge shot here for the Lakers to take a one-point lead with just over 2 minutes remaining. And then KCP elevates off the front rim. This is why they have Jokic.
The offensive rebounds killed this team late. I mean, Aaron Gordon got a big one, which you're about to see probably here soon.
It killed them all series. Denver was plus 19 on the O board.
Left hand?
But LeBron James, clearly he thought there was a little bit of contact there, but you know, marginal was sort of the word of the first round.
This one right here. This one right here. You got to get that rebound. Look what it leads to.
Aaron Gordon, such an underrated piece for this team. Jamal Murray, huge bucket there. Denver goes up by two with just over a minute left to go here. And then same score, LeBron James. This is his time of year, and this is what he does. Attacks Michael Porter Jr., goes all the way to the cup. Can't get it to go. Heads to the free throw line. He would make both free throws. The game all tied up at 106. We've seen this movie before, Austin.
Absolutely.
Jamal Murray.
Ooh, fade to the left. Come here.
Finds his spot and takes a two-point lead. Remember, the Los Angeles Lakers, they had no timeout, so this is the best they could get. Torian Prince's shot falls short, and so does the Lakers' season. Denver gets the 108-106 win. Jamal Murray, he came into this game questionable with that calf injury, and he had a game-high 32 points. Notice that Michael Malone, he didn't call a timeout here. This is how much he trusts his guys. Jamal Murray celebrating there with his father.
That was cool.
LeBron James, after the game, he was asked about if he had confidence in this team running it back.
No. Because we lost. I don't. I'm not a participation guy. We lost, and you know, you move on and see how you can get better. But you know, our season has been derailed all season with just like injuries and guys in and out. And you know, I talked about it all year. He was around us all year. I said, it's hard to say who we are, what we can be, because we have yet to be whole. I think we was only probably whole maybe one or two times this year. And I know One of them was during the in-season tournament. We got whole and we showed what he's capable of doing. But we was just hit with injuries after injuries after injuries. And it was just hard to, it's hard to come back from that.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
All right, so LeBron's not answering it, but I had the thought. When I was driving to Crypto.com Arena for Game 4, I drove downtown wondering, huh, is this the last time that I am going to go to a Lakers game with LeBron James in this uniform? Was it?
I don't think so. Did you see the twinkle in his eye? Because he liked that question because he knew he could do a little walk-off and drop in, I'll see you in the summer. I think LeBron is probably going to opt out of his contract, and I think there's several different reasons for that. I don't think it means he's leaving.
Okay.
I do think it means he wants to leave his options open. Mm-hmm. Number one, the Lakers didn't do anything at the trade deadline. At the draft, LeBron, I think, would like to see some action. And one of the things that you can do to encourage that is by potentially becoming a free agent. Secondly, I don't know if you guys heard, but Bronny James entered the NBA draft officially today. And that means that the Lakers potentially have two picks and maybe Bronny stays in the draft. And, you know, there's many steps between now and Bronny for sure being in the draft. But if you're LeBron, you may want to be a free agent just to see what happens with Bronny or to let teams know that may be interested in Bronny, like perhaps the Lakers, that he could be a free agent. Third, if LeBron opts into his contract, he gets $51 million. Good for him. He's earned it. If he opts out of his contract, he can sign for 3 years and $160 million. He can build in additional options if he wants. And this is not insignificant. If he opts in, he cannot get a no-trade clause. If he opts out and begins a new deal, he can get a no-trade clause. Mm. So I think it's probably going to be smart for him to at least posture that he's going to opt out. But I want to underline it again. It does not mean he's not going anywhere. But when you are a free agent, you are a free agent. Mm.
Okay. Anything's possible. We've seen that before with him. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay.
Just from the standpoint of the Lakers aren't far away. They might not be a championship team right now, but you even alluded to a point earlier. You said that they led most of the series in minutes.
Right.
This is a team that was highly competitive throughout the series. No, they didn't close. No, they don't have the team to win a championship or compete with the likes of a Minnesota or OKC. But they're not far off, and there are other assets this summer that might become available. Like you said, he's going to probably opt out, restructure his deal. Bronny's there. He's made this as a lifestyle choice. He said that before he came to Los Angeles, that he's done everything he's wanted to do. So this was strictly a lifestyle choice. He's in Los Angeles. His family's rooted here.
Right.
It's the Laker town. I don't see him leaving. I really don't. But I do think he's going to do what you said. Yeah.
Well, and as much as we want answers right now, today, as to what he is going to do, speaking to people who have spoken to LeBron James this morning, I genuinely don't think that he has had the time to process all of this quite yet.
Yes,
it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So he's going to take a breath. We heard him say he's going to talk to his family, sort of take inventory of everything that's going on in his life. But you mentioned the money, and I think that some skeptics would say, well, LeBron James has made, you know, $1 billion on and off the court in his career. It can't just be about the money. It has to be about winning. But I wonder at this point, Austin, when you've put in so much, when you have won so much at all of these different levels, is winning a fifth ring the most important thing to someone like LeBron?
I'm going to say no. I want to be careful about how I say this.
Okay.
Just due to the fact that you should always play to win. And I don't think LeBron James is LeBron James by not playing to win. He's one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player to play of all time. So obviously this guy goes on the court to play. You can see the frustration after the game last night. This guy wants to compete and he wants to win.
Yep.
He's always been brutally honest, whether we've liked it or not, or hinted at it at least. With that being said, the only guy that is even in front of him that we even ponder or put in up there in the air is Michael Jordan, and he has six. So whether he wins five or stays at four, it makes no difference. So I don't think the championship thing is the end-all be-all. I think he has cemented himself. He already got Michael in the points and all the other accolades and longevity and everything else he has in his career. I think at this point, he just wants to compete. I think he wants to be happy, live in L.A. I think he wants to continue to make a lot of money. And I think he wants to play the Sun. I think these are the things that he's made clear and hinted at already and put in time. So he's in a position for this summer to these things all happen. He could get a new deal. They could get new assets this summer or trade for players, you know, whether it's a Donovan Mitchell or a Trae Young or a Devin Booker. I don't know. There's all type of guys that could be thrown in the mix. And his son could also be drafted there, too. They have the second
round
pick.
Which we've never seen before.
No. So,
we've never seen a father and son play in the NBA, let alone at this level.
So
he can get a ton of money, continue to play in L.A., and possibly play with his son. tell me that he's struggling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, if you know LeBron at all, he does care about money. He's thinking about trying to buy an NBA team.
Yep.
He ain't taking a $50 million pay cut. And secondly, he's still underpaid. You know, like you say, oh, you let him take a pay cut. He's taking a pay cut, frankly, at $50 million. Even now, he's worth more than $50
million. Absolutely. Today.
So let's just have a frank conversation about that.
Just for the money that he brings into the city alone. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere. The Lakers are going to give him everything that he wants. And they are close. Whether people like that or they want to hear that, they're not far away, man. And there are other guys in the market that can come there this summer that can make the Lakers highly competitive.
It's still wild, though, that we were seconds away from not even having this conversation today of the Lakers possibly forcing a game six, like seconds away. But Jamal Murray changed all of that with that final shot that he took.
Jamal.
It's the second time we've seen him do it in this series alone. Again, with no timeout, called before either one. How difficult is that shot?
Anytime you're moving left to right, full speed, with the adrenaline of the game on the line, and you got a defender in your rearview mirror, that's never an easy shot. And people don't realize mid-ranges are the toughest shot in basketball because it's all touch. Look at him. To the left, he's got, he doesn't know if he wants Jokic, not. That is his bread and butter, though. Let's get to it. He's hit that midi. I've seen him shoot that, especially if you're a right-handed guy going left. It's easier fading that way. But let's talk about Nikola. He knew he wasn't even going to get the ball in this. I mean,
let's talk about Nikola. If he doesn't shoot it, Austin, Jokic is wide open.
Wide open, yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
crazy.
Murray, he became the first player in the last 25 postseasons with multiple go-ahead makes in the final 5 seconds of a playoff game. He's also just the fourth player with multiple makes like this in the entire postseason with up to 3 rounds still to go, which is absolutely insane. He's shown us that time and time again, he just elevates his game. This is what Jamal Murray does, and it's kind of time that we start putting a little bit of a respect on his name.
Hello! Jamal Murray, amazing shot. I want to talk about Aaron Gordon, the unsung hero of the series. It's a Zach attack. Aaron Gordon, 14 points a game, 10 rebounds, the best rebounding series of his life, and he damn near won the game himself with my Zach attack play of the game. This is LeBron James. This ain't just some average Joe. This is Aaron Gordon saying, I want the ball more than you, arguably the greatest player of all time. Kick out to Jamal Murray, go ahead three. Aaron Gordon was phenomenal, 40 minutes a game. Michael Porter Jr., 23 a game, made almost half his threes. Those two guys, if they play like that, they round out the team around Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, the stars who make all the big shots. But Aaron Gordon made every gritty play in that series, including that rebound. That is a monster play against LeBron James, one of the greatest and most competitive players of all time, and a big, big dude. And Aaron Gordon just said, get out of my way.
Right.
I am taking the game.
I am not sure when they acquired him from the Orlando Magic that they saw, or we saw, I saw, I'll speak for myself, that he would be this type of complement to Nikola Jokic. And all of a sudden, they have unlocked these different levels of each other's game. It's pretty impressive to see. We got a lot to get to on our show because the series, it has shifted back to the concrete jungle, New York City. But will Jalen Brunson send Embiid and the Sixers packing tonight? We're going to make our picks coming up here. Plus, how concerned? Yes.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Joel Embiid. I'm bending down.
Oh, okay.
I thought we were going to talk about big body Brunson.
Well, we're also going to talk about Kristaps Porzingis, and will he miss time after exiting Monday night's game early with a calf injury? And are the Lakers heading for another coaching change after an early exit? What comes next in Los Angeles? That's all coming up on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
The Celtics in Miami for Game 4 against the Heat. Boston came out hot, but did not leave this matchup unscathed, right? Derek White, he had a great game. He was the first Celtics player with 35 points, 3 blocks in a playoff game since 73-74, Austin.
His jump shot just continues to improve. The quick release, they had no answer for it last night. And he does it on both sides of the floor, as we see right here.
Derek White elevates, pulls up.
A quick trigger.
I mean, super impressive from him. But watch here, Kristaps Porzingis. He appears just to tweak his ankle a little bit on this play. And then going ahead, Brian, later, he appears to injure his calf on this play.
Yeah, this is probably actually the most relevant thing that happened in the NBA playoffs last night, because this team needs Porzingis. He unlocks so much for them, and his health status the Celtics are going to establish today could be a big factor in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
He exited this game, and he did not return. Let's go ahead here to the fourth quarter. Celtics up big. Jason Tatum drives on Caleb Martin. Oh, my goodness.
Where my twin at? Oh.
Tatum throwing it down with authority. And this is a few minutes later. This is just on a dead play. Yeah, Bam Adebayo, he was called for a flagrant one on this one, Austin. Obviously, yeah. Tatum goes down in some pain, so scary moment. Is this a flagrant one?
Yeah, easy call. He came up under him. Whether it was intentional or not is besides the point. The fact is his feet were under him, he had nowhere to land. That's an easy flagrant one.
So Eric Spoelstra, others a little bit confused. Bam on the sidelines, kind of chatting, not really understanding. Bam was actually still talking with the refs after the game. The Celtics win. White, 38 points, 3 blocks. Bam, 25 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists. This is shortly after the game what Kristaps Porzingis posted on social media. He said, good win tonight. Derek White is special. Thank you for all the support. He says that he will be good, but the Celtics, they were more than fine, right, without Porzingis in the regular season. They went 21-4, outscored their opponents by over 12 points per game without him. Both marks, they would have easily led the league. Obviously, though, the playoffs, they are a different level of intensity, and health is key. So our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, is here alongside Zach Lowe. Woj, what do we know exactly about Porzingis, and is there hope that he returns this postseason?
Hey, Malika, we'll start here. I was told last night that the early estimation was, that this was not an Achilles injury, and certainly that's always the initial fear when you see a player reach back, in that calf Achilles area. But, he's back in Boston. He's still undergoing imaging, the evaluation of that today. And then the Celtics will have a better sense of how severe this calf strain is. Certainly, there are strains that could be, a week to 10 days, 2 weeks. There are more severe calf strains, more significant grades. That could be longer than that. And so right now for the Celtics, the hope is that this is not such a serious injury,
right,
that they've lost Kristaps Porzingis for the season, but they're still evaluating. And as Brian said, there's certainly a lot at stake if they want to win a championship to have Kristaps Porzingis back sooner than later in these playoffs.
Not to mention putting any more stress on Al Horford, who is 37, turning 38 is something that they want to avoid doing. So hopefully this won't be an extensive absence for Porzingis. But Zach, if it is, how big of a deal is that for the Celtics?
Well, I think to win the championship, they need Kristaps Porzingis. And don't make any mistakes, the championship is the goal for the Celtics. Anything short of that is a disappointment. But if you look around the state of the East, I think they could make the finals without him, and depending on the severity of the injury, kind of slow play his return. Look, they're up 3-1 against a Heat team that is just decimated by injuries. Joel Embiid's team is down 3-1. Giannis's team is down 3-1, and Giannis is injured. The Knicks are very quietly running low on players on top of Julius Randle's injury. Mitchell Robinson couldn't go the last game. Maybe he'll try again tonight. Bojan Bogdanovic is hurt. The East is just absolutely decimated. Cleveland, Orlando is a dogfight. Neither of those those teams holds a candle to Boston. I think they can get through the East, giving Porzingis his minutes to Luke Kornet and Xavier Tillman if they have to. Obviously, that's not ideal. And in the finals, should they get there,
right,
it's a different beast. They'd want him back before. The Knicks are formidable. These teams are good. But the East right now is just, whew, it is decimated by injuries. And I think that gives the Celtics some time with Kristaps Porzingis.
Not to mention they have a little bit time more immediately as they await the result of that Magic Cavaliers series. Woj, Zach, thank you very much. Please do not go too far. Let's go from the one seed in the East to the one seed in the West, Austin. If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams hadn't announced that they were here before, they certainly have now. Cason Wallace strips it from Ingram. Isaiah Joe scoops it up.
Been a steal for them. He flew through under the radar. Isaiah Joe's been a great player for them.
2.5 minutes to go in the there third he here. I mean, just
guys play hard too.
Once again, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander lays it in. Thunder, they go up by 4. Let's go ahead to the fourth quarter here. This is under 6 minutes to go in the game. The Thunder up by 1. SGA, learn him, learn his name, memorize his game. Goes straight to the cup, lays it in. The Thunder up by 3. 5 minutes left. Thunder up by 2 here.
Ooh.
Thunder up by 3, rather.
Oof. If he gets this down consistently, watch out. Already, actually, watch out.
Exactly. Chet Holmgren, by the way, played in all 82 games this regular season. Was that a chef's kiss?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. And then the Thunder just putting the finishing touches on this one. If there were any doubts about this team being too young, there are none. And this is pretty cool. Look at the reception when they landed back from New Orleans.
This is why small markets matter. You come back, it's like a homecoming, small college town feel.
Yeah.
You're not getting that here in LA or New York. They're not waiting outside the plane, you know, to cheer you on. That was great to see.
It's awesome. And look at this. Anyone who's saying, well, you know, that was a first-round series without Zion, we'll see how they do moving forward. The Thunder have a winning record against both of their potential West semi opponents. They've gone 3-1 against the Mavs, 2-1 against the Clippers, and OKC will be seeking to make their first Western Finals since 2016. Coming up on NBA Today, LeBron James. He deflected questions on his future in Los Angeles, but we won't. Will he return to LA next season? And for that matter, will Darvin Ham? We're talking about this, of course, because Mile High Mall, he did it once again. We show you how he's having the most clutch postseason in the history of the NBA. Plus, the Bucks, their backs are against the wall tonight. Woj has the latest on Giannis and Dame's status and what it could mean for the Bucks' future. That's ahead. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
LeBron James, a triple. Got it!
We're a great team, and you tip your hats. I mean, they made the plays down the stretch to win this series.
Dancing, trying to tie, up and off and a foul.
Need two to tie it here. Another tie.
Those are shots that you dream of as a little kid. You practice in the backyard. Like I said in game two, man, we don't get to that shot without everybody pitching in.
Zeros on the clock. The Nuggets advance.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to NBA Today. I mean, what a game last night. I felt so bad for my neighbors. I definitely kept them up reacting to the final seconds of this one. The Lakers, they were just 2 points away from taking this series back to L.A. Adrian Wojnarowski still with us, along with Brian Windhorst, Austin Rivers. Denver looking at a second round matchup with Minnesota, and that series starts Saturday. I cannot wait. But the Lakers, they are facing an offseason with some major questions. Here's LeBron James after last night's game.
Start looking at the schedule. Obviously, I got my son, one of my boys is just trying to decide if he's going to, you know, enter the draft or go back to school. I got another kid that's playing AU ball right now. My daughter is playing volleyball, and my wife is doing so many great things. So it's about family right now. And then in a couple months, I got to go to Vegas for training camp. So, you know, I got to rest my body for USAB, but that's kind of the initial thoughts. Haven't given it much thought. Obviously, at some point, I'll sit down with Rich, my agent, and sit down with my family and, you know, see what's best, you know, what's best for my career. So, you know, we'll cross that when we need to.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Okay, so LeBron referenced a busy offseason. Here are some of the key dates that he's talking about. Of course, the draft will be June 26th and 27th, so LeBron will know his son Bronny's fate a couple of days before. He has to decide on his opt-out a day before free agency begins. Woj, how does Bronny's future factor in, if at all, for LeBron?
Malika, in my conversations with Rich Paul, who obviously represents LeBron James, yeah, but will also represent Bronny James, is that the idea of them playing together is not a priority. It's not foremost, at least any longer in LeBron James's mind. That Rich Paul's goal here in the pre-draft process for Bronny James is to see if there is the right developmental system, organization, a place that can take a young player like Bronny James, you know, who went 5 months without playing, you know, after his heart episode, you know, certainly limited him in his season at USC. And so if he does go in the draft, you know, he's very likely would spend next year in the G League. And I think so for LeBron James and Bronny James, and what Rich Paul said was, if organically somehow they ended up together, that would be great. But you look at the Lakers draft assets, number 17, that's a really important pick for the Lakers, probably to use in a big trade. You're not going to use it on Bronny James at 17. And then they have number 55. He could very well be gone by then. There are teams, I think certainly once you get into the second round, we'll see how he does in the pre-draft process. They may not be able to draft him. You know, it's not free agency. Somebody else can take Bronny James. And I think those are the conversations Rich Paul is going to have with teams to try to figure out what might be the right spot, who might have interest at what spot in the draft. So I think that's the priority for them as a family. What's best for Bronny James? And if it ends up them together, well, that would be great. But I don't get a sense it's playing much, if any, role in LeBron James' decision on next season. And I think, listen, we all know in all likelihood he's back with the Lakers. It will just depend on what is the structure of a deal, 2 years, 3 years,
sure,
perhaps, after he opts out.
Right. And that's not the only thing, him saying that he wasn't sure about necessarily or wouldn't answer the question about his future in Los Angeles, that stood out to me from last night. When he was asked if he thought that this roster was good enough to run it back with, he said point blank, no. And we know that oftentimes, you know, guys get in the rooms together over the summer. They get in the same room. They have these conversations. And Director Kathy, if we could throw those key dates back up there real quick. Yeah, the Paris Olympics in July, Brian. LeBron is going to be alongside most of the top stars in the league for a significant amount of time. How much could that shape the direction, those conversations of this offseason?
Yeah, most of the offseason work will have already taken place by July 6th when they get together, certainly by the time they start. And those players who have free agent decisions or contract decisions will probably want to get those done before then. But USA Basketball has been the foundation of many future connections. And I know people are saying today, boy, is it all over for LeBron, Steph, and KD now that they're all out? Are they never going to win a title anymore? And I'm like, they could win a title this summer together. So you never know what happens in USA Basketball. It's going to be a great experience. And it's also going to be challenging. Let's see what happens there. I'm not sure it's going to affect anything that would happen instantly, but you never know down the line how USA Basketball connections, you know, lead to other things.
I think another conversation, of course, that is happening today as LeBron James' teammates await his decision this summer is also the decisions that surround head coach Darvin Ham. So take a listen to both Anthony Davis and Darvin.
He's been in this position numerous times in his career. Where he had to make a decision, ultimately for himself and his family, and I'll be right there supporting whatever he decides to do. And obviously, it's been, you know, a great 5 seasons with him. You know, if he do decide to come back, obviously our goal is to come back and you know, be a championship contender. But he has a, you know, decision to make, and you know, when that time comes, he'll, you know, inform me, inform you guys.
It's tough. I you know, my mind's all over the place right now. So that's a great question, but. Maybe at some point later on, I'll give you an answer. It's been a hell of a 2 years, though, I tell you that. Sitting in this seat, it's been a hell of a 2 years. Like, again, I'm going to control what I can control, continue to grow, and hopefully be a better coach for it.
Okay, so just for clarity, that was Anthony Davis talking about LeBron James's future and then Darvin talking about his own. Woj, where do the Lakers stand with Darvin Ham now?
Darvin Ham's future with the Lakers, to say the least, is very uncertain. And the Lakers have had every opportunity to publicly say that Darvin Ham is their coach or to privately assure him that he will be back. Neither of those has happened. The Lakers are going to take at least a couple days here to talk within their organization. But certainly, Darvin Ham, despite the fact 90-74 in 2 years, a Western Conference Finals, an in-season tournament, which is new to anybody's resume, and a team that is poised this summer to really improve. They have a chance to go out and use as many as 2 or 3 first-round picks to swing a big deal and to give Darvin Ham or any coach the roster that they haven't had the last couple of years, but clearly, this is a coach whose future is very uncertain. And again, the Lakers have had every opportunity to assure people about a coach who has multiple years left on his deal. It speaks volumes that they have not done that.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the deal. Coaching a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, it's championship or bust. I mean, we're talking about within his first 2 years, they have a play-in championship, and he went to the conference finals last year with a team that no one thought was going to do that. And we're here sitting here talking about, you know, his job in question. The reality is when you have a roster put in place like the Lakers have and you have guys like LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your team, people want results. And they're certainly not going to point the finger at LeBron James. You can't point it at Anthony Davis this year due to the numbers he's put up and the games played. Mm. So that next guy in line usually falls on to the coach. And we're sitting here now having to question, you know, Darvin Ham, unfortunately, even though he has actually shown potential. And having that job, there's probably no other job harder in professional basketball.
Of course, but it also became, I think, acute in some people's minds, at least watching sort of the various timeout situations. There was a lot of discourse about that. I know you had thoughts on that, Austin.
Yeah, well, last night, Denver went on a crucial run to end that third quarter. It just seemed like they were starting to get control of the game. Prior to that, it seemed like L.A. had it, and there were no timeouts called. But again, we look with the magnifying glass. When we talk about Darvin Ham, the whole world wants to pick apart every little thing he does because that's what happens when you coach. I don't like to call it America's team, but they're the most popular team in NBA sports, in NBA basketball. That's what we talk about every single day here. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And, I feel for him.
The timeout situation last night, I know it's a big thing. Darvin had to call a timeout 1 minute into the third quarter because Anthony Davis got hurt. Then he had to call 2 timeouts with less than a minute in the fourth quarter because he was challenging a play, which probably saved the Lakers 2 points. It was unfortunate, but the fact, Malika, that they had some games where he ended with 2 timeouts and didn't use, that he sometimes uses challenges and sometimes didn't, and most importantly, 5 times they were ahead at the half and 4 times they lost, it hurts his case. Although other things were also in play to why the Lakers are done.
The magnifying glass is an apt analogy. I think when Anthony Davis said after the game the other night that on both ends of the floor, sometimes it just didn't feel like we knew what we were doing. That was another indictment from within the team that didn't feel like the confidence was radiating out of the Lakers locker room. But as Woj said, a couple of days here and we'll see how everything shakes out. Coming up on our show, gentlemen, please do not go too far. Did you check the weather today, Brian?
I did not.
Well, our meteorologist, Zach Lowe, he's predicting orange and blue skies.
Okay.
Knicks do one specific thing.
I need a bucket.
Bucket? I'm a walking bucket.
Kelsey Plum.
I got clutch buckets.
No.
I got deep buckets.
No.
Easy buckets.
Girl.
I got it, I got it. You want a floater? Splash.
Splash. I need a bucket bucket.
Oh, you don't need me. You need, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ooh, State Farm can help with this. Just file a claim on the app or give us a call.
I get buckets and assists.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Despite making an all-in move to trade for Damian Lillard this summer, the Bucks, they are on the brink of their second straight first-round exit, this time at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. Giannis Antetokounmpo has yet to take the floor this postseason, while Damian Lillard, he wasn't able to play in Game 4 because of that right Achilles tendon strain. Without their superstars, it is going to be an uphill battle for the Bucks because teams that are down 3-1 in a best-of-seven series, they are 13-269 all-time. Woj is back with us, so let's start with Giannis and Dame. How likely is it that we see them on the floor tonight?
Malika, at this hour, not likely that the Bucks will have either in Game 5 against the Pacers. You know, this is a team, obviously, that needs to win to keep their season alive. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I had been told all along, you know, that the best chance of him being back appearing in this postseason would be at the tail end of this series, perhaps a Game 6 or 7 at the earliest. We're not quite there yet. But right now, the Bucks are facing the proposition of an elimination game with both players out.
And no team has ever won a playoff game, ever, in the history of the NBA with their top two scorers out, which, of course, Giannis and Dame are. So speaking of teams that are down 3-1 and have some injury question marks, the 76ers, Joel Embiid, he missed shoot-around this morning with a migraine. What's his status for tonight's elimination game?
And Malika, the hope is that he's going to be able to play tonight. He did miss shoot around with that migraine. He's been listed questionable with his knee. He probably will be listed questionable all the way to his Hall of Fame enshrinement in Springfield. But the expectation is the Knicks are going to have to go through Joel Embiid and the Sixers to close out this series tonight.
Well, it was the back page of the newspaper, the most hated man in New York, Joel Embiid. He doesn't earn that title for nothing. Woj, thank you so very much. Embiid, he has been his usual dominant self through three quarters, averaging 28 points, six boards on 52% shooting through three. But his numbers, they slipped greatly in the fourth. You can see here just two total rebounds, 3-for-18 shooting in that final period. Zach Lowe, it really feels like the momentum shifted in this series in Game 4. What exactly did the New York Knicks do in order to do that, and what do they need to lean on to close out the 76ers?
Well, Joel Embiid is playing at something less than 100%, and the Knicks know that too. And they made a strategic decision with Jalen Brunson. We are going at Joel Embiid even more aggressively in the pick and roll and forcing you to come out of your comfort zone and guard us. So here's like early in the game. This is a beautiful play by Jalen Brunson. One way, snake back the other way. It forces a switch. Joel doesn't want to come out there. Easy jumper. Look how high this pick is. Half court. And then Hartenstein flips it around. Surprises Kelly Oubre. That's too much space for Jalen Brunson. Joel Embiid does not want to come out there. But you start scoring enough, the big fella's got to come out there. He's out above the three-point arc this time. And Jalen Brunson says, I'm coming right at you. You might be bigger than me, but I'm going to get you off balance, hop on my pogo stick, hit the floater before you can even get off the ground. They went at Joel aggressively. And look, he's doing his best through injury on a team whose third best player right now is who exactly? I mean, pick out of a hat. It's a slog for Joel Embiid and Jalen Brunson. That was a masterpiece game in a masterpiece season for one of the greatest stories in the NBA of the last 4 or 5 years.
You couldn't see Austin, but he was nodding emphatically through your entire tape with notes that I think we're going to need to put on air in just a little bit. Zach, thank you. It's time now for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. So the 76ers, the New York Knicks. Austin, I'm going to start with you because you had a lot of thoughts on that tape. Who you got?
Listen, I'm going to have to follow my sword. I'm already halfway down as it is. So at this point, I just got to hold it down. Joel Embiid, I've been advocating for you all series. In fact, I actually told before the series, I didn't even want him to come back. I wanted him to get healthy. But since you have, he's had dominant performances. We looked at the numbers. He's there. I've said he was the best player in the series. people crucified me for saying that because I know Jalen Brunson, or Big Body Brunson, as Perk likes to say, has been dominant, especially with his last game, 47. I got the Sixers winning tonight. I think they're going to come through. I got a masterful performance by Joel Embiid in the Garden.
I got the Knicks, no rebounds, no rings.
Wow. No rebounds, no rings. Plus, I mean, Jalen Brunson coming off that 47-point performance over the last two games. He's averaging 43 points and 11.5 assists.
It doesn't look good for me. I can admit that.
It does not look good for you. That's why we left Brian on camera a little bit longer. It looks better for him. The question is, who are you picking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they've placed their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. Before we bounce, Robin Roberts, for the first time since Brittany Griner returned to United States soil 16 months ago, had an exclusive conversation with the WNBA star. It airs tomorrow on Good Morning America, but we have a snippet right now.
What is it like to be on Russian soil? And cannabis oil is found, which you know is illegal there.
Mm-hmm.
What is racing through your mind during that time?
Just everything that I'm not gonna see. I'm thinking about my wife, thinking about what my family's gonna think, public opinion's gonna think. You know, I can just see the headlines now. Like, I could just visualize everything I worked so hard for just crumbling and going away. And then to be somewhere where there's no understanding. In the U.S., I can articulate what happened, how this happened. I didn't plan to do this. This was a mistake. It was an accident, which I understand accidents have repercussions, but there's nothing. There's none of that.
You say it's an accident, and there are people who believe you, but you know there are those who say, come on, how did you not know that you had cartridges in your luggage? What do you say to the skeptics?
I would say, have you ever forgot your keys in your car, left your car running? Have you ever, you know, where's my glasses? They're on top of your head. Where's my phone? Oh, it's in my pocket. It's just so easy to have a mental lapse, you know? Mm-hmm. Granted, my mental lapse was on a more grand scale, but it doesn't take away from how that can happen.
That excerpt was Before We Bounce, presented by SiriusXM. But before the 2020 special airs tomorrow night, hear from Robin Roberts on NBA Today Wednesday with new reporting on Griner's detainment. So no LeBron, no Steph, no Kevin Durant in the playoffs. Have we officially entered a new era in the NBA? We discuss next on NBA Today.
NBA Today is presented by the powerful backing of American Express.
So with LeBron and the Lakers eliminated, we are now facing a playoffs without LeBron James, without Kevin Durant, without Steph Curry. Let me be very clear. This is the first time since Steph Curry entered the league that none of those names will be a part of the second round. And you can really go back to 2004, 2005, LeBron's second year. So, Zach, is this just going to be how it is moving forward? Have we witnessed the changing of the guard?
Well, you know what all those guys have in common is they're all in their mid-30s or much older in LeBron's case. And unfortunately, age is a thing. Father time is still undefeated. And this is what happened. It happened to Larry Bird. It happened to Magic Johnson. It happened to Michael Jordan. Guys get old and a new breed comes. But look, these guys are so famous, they're going to be like co-faces of the league until they retire. That's just how it is. That's what they've accomplished. But this is just what happens. And look, two of the last three championships have been won by a Giannis-led team and a Jokic-led team. To some degree, the changing of the guard has kind of already happened. The Celtics with Jason Tatum are there every single season. This is just what happens. But now, Anthony Edwards is here, and he's ready. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, America, start to get familiar with his game and his team because they're awesome. And Luka has been here before, and he'll be here again. And next year, we're going to get John Morant back and Wembanyama's team. This is just what happens. It's all organic. But salute to Steph and LeBron because their teams are still good. The Lakers are good. That's what, you know, we can't forget that. They pushed the Denver Nuggets really hard. And those guys are all-time pantheon guys. Kevin Durant is too. They're going to be on this show, on ESPN, on national TV until they retire, and they've earned it because people love their games, people love watching them, their magnetic personalities, but it's time to usher in some new guys, and that's what's happening now.
I get what you're saying, that this is something that was happening, that the teams we've seen win over the last couple of years, but it feels more acute to me this year. It feels like last year, okay, Steph still sent De'Aaron Fox the Sacramento Kings packing and showed why he is Steph Curry. The Lakers were still in the conference finals. This year, it feels like Kendrick Perkins said, no, Anthony Edwards is coming and snatching the torch. He's not waiting for it to be handed. So I don't know. Is it just me that feels like, no, this is a moment in time we need to remember, Austin?
No, it's definitely happened quick, but to Zach's point, Father Time's never undefeated. And we do have these new stars who are here now. The game is changing over, but that door's not closed yet. It's still open. The Lakers are still good. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry all still average 20-plus points per game. These are guys who still go for 30 and 20 every night. These guys are still great players and can help winning teams or attract assets to their teams. I guess the most concern would be with the Warriors, considering I feel like they're the most behind in the group. KD's a guy who's going to go anywhere.
Well, I feel like the Suns is.
I say that because KD could go. KD's a guy that can go anywhere. Steph's not going to go anywhere. He's going to hold it down in Golden State.
So let's keep going down this path then, Brian. Who's in the best position considering the West is coming? They're not slowing down. Jaws here, Vic's here, et cetera. Who's in the best position to be back?
If you ask me, this is a new era. Yes. It's a new era, and why are we so melancholy about it? Be excited.
Sorry. I'm excited. It's a new era. Anthony Edwards is here. Is that better?
Have you not seen? I know you have, but has America not seen Anthony Edwards? Have you not seen Victor Wembanyama?
Yeah.
These guys are extremely exciting. I couldn't be more excited about Minnesota against Denver.
That's not
something that we've ever said before.
I can't wait.
That's going to be in a great series, so let's embrace that.
Great point.
I am embracing it. Saturday, that series, pulling up.
We have our new stars, man.
We have our new stars. They are here. That's going to do it for us here on NBA Today. Enjoy tonight's games. We will see you tomorrow right here, 3 o'clock Eastern. NFL Live's next.